From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the WHO goes after American Resources, the actual science on transgenderism, and Target tries to one-up Bud Light. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Last week, there were a series of meetings in Geneva, Switzerland, where the WHO is proposing treaties that could put Americans at risk and gives great power to the Chinese. Joining Tony on Tuesday to talk about the WHO's actions was Representative Chris Smith of New Jersey.
Congressman Smith, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Tony, thank you very much, and thanks for teeing up this extraordinarily important issue for your viewers. It could be catastrophic for sovereignty and a host of other issues, which I'll gladly get into.
I figured you would be the best to provide context here because you've been in Congress for some time and you've seen how these international agencies work. This is unprecedented. We've not seen this type of global power grab before.
It is truly unprecedented, and the idea is to, and I have the treaty, at least one of the proposals, it's not finished yet, right in front of me, and Article 4 takes away sovereignty while paying lip service to sovereignty, but then it says that activities within their jurisdiction, that it would be like the United States of America, that causes damage to their peoples and countries would empower the WHO, the World Health Organization, to step in. So you would have unelected bureaucrats based out of Geneva, and Dr. Tedros, who is the head of that, was put in his job by Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party. He would be in charge by treaty obligation that would be obligatory to follow what they tell us to do. And then we would have to provide commodities, 20% of our medical supplies would have to go to WHO when they demanded it. So it's something like I've never seen. They've also embedded universal health coverage. And right now in Geneva, there are discussions going on whether or not SRHR, sexual and reproductive health and rights, should be included in universal health coverage, which obviously Tedros and all the others believe it should. He did a big meeting the other day, April 24th, Tony, and he had some 600 plus civil society organizations. And he said, we look to the CSOs, and that's all these pro-abortion groups, to hold WHO global, regional, and county offices accountable to deliver sexual and reproductive health and rights for everyone, everywhere. So they're trying to put abortion and the entire LGBTQ agenda into the WHO and into this so-called pandemic treaty. And the other thing is that it wouldn't be, according to what Biden wants to do, it wouldn't be ratified by the United States Senate. It would be similar to what he did with the agreement with Iran on nuclear weapons and on nuclear material. And that is an executive agreement, a handy little thing that just bypasses the U.S. Senate and Congress as a whole when it comes to this treaty. And it's obligatory. It says right here in the preamble, it would be binding on every country of the world. So it's a very serious attempt to undermine sovereignty and to promote an agenda that is antithetical to most Americans.
So, Congressman Smith, let me break that down just a little bit.
Sure.
It threatens U.S. sovereignty, but that would include the 50 states. So if you live in a red state and you think you're protected from the long arm of the federal government, you're wrong. Because through this accord, they would have the ability to reach into the states, even into local jurisdictions, would they not?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, treaty obligations and treaty law supersedes, a other law. It is very, very powerful. And this would be construed to be a treaty by the Biden administration and by the World Health Organization. I can't imagine Americans wanting to cede our ability to make healthcare decisions to a group of unelected bureaucrats, many of whom have the ultra, ultra progressive left agenda. Like I said, they're trying to impose abortion on demand on every one of us. Biden wants to do that. We know that. But there is a large number of Americans in pro-life states right now, like Texas and Florida, that have stood up very mightily for their unborn children. They're looking to overcome that by treaty obligation. So it's not finished. Hopefully, countries, especially the Africans, who have been our best allies in pushing back on this. And again, they use COVID-19 and the pandemic as the prerequisite. You know, this is somehow all about pandemics. Well, what is universal health coverage doing in the treaty? Where is that a
right?
A,
that's
issue?
An important point, that this is not just about another COVID pandemic that sweeps
right.
the world. This gives them the ability to declare an emergency, whether it be over, as you say, they use reproductive health, whether it's over abortion or the LGBTQ transgender surgeries. They can declare that an emergency. That would usurp the laws of the states, the 18 states here in the United States that are protecting minors against this experimental surgeries, would it not?
I believe it would. It's not totally clear in this draft. They're looking, as you pointed out in your opening, you know, it's not done. My hope is that it will never be done in this form. And again, the Africans who have spoken out at the World Health Assembly, which is meeting right now, and their executive committee meets right after that, then they're meeting again a few months later, they're on a tear to get this done quickly. And again, Dr. Tedros, who, you know, talking about health, they even say that all lives need to be included. Well, they don't include the unborn children. Those
yeah.
lives are expressly excluded by everything the WHO does and UN agencies.
Well, Congressman Chris Smith, we're out of time for this segment, but this is something we're going to continue to talk about. And
Tony, I'm
going
to do a hearing on it very shortly, so hopefully we'll bring some additional light and scrutiny to it in the Congress.
Looking forward to that. We'll be covering that. Congressman Chris Smith, always great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Tony, thank you so much.
Well, folks, we will continue to track this and get the developments this week, but this is going to be a year-long process. Hopefully within the next 6 months, we can get the U.S. Congress, the House, under Republican leadership to take action. All right, don't go away. Dr. Jennifer Bowens joins me next to talk about those who are following the science. That's next. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Joseph Backholm, host of The Outstanding Podcast, inviting you to join me as we discuss the news of the day and the issues that shape us. Christians are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. With that in mind, The Outstanding Podcast takes you behind the headlines to help you understand what happened and why. If you're looking for something informative and casual that will help you see what God is doing in the world, The Outstanding Podcast is for you. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find it at WashingtonStand.com. It's not just another podcast. It's outstanding.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. By the way, if you'd like to see Congress act on this issue of the WHO, the World Health Organization, we have a petition, and we're going to be delivering that to the leadership in the House to get them to take a strong stand on getting the United States out of the World Health Organization before it's too late. Simply text WHO, W-H-O, to 67742. 67742, the word WHO. You can sign the petition, or you can go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. For those who follow the science, it is leading them away from the chemical and surgical experimentation that is being done on minors under the deceptive title of gender-affirming care. In fact, the United Kingdom, France, Finland, Norway, Australia, and Sweden, none of which are strongly conservative nations, have all stepped back from the transgender craze, and 18 states here in the U.S. have done the same. Joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Jennifer Bowens, the director of the Center for Family Studies here at the Family Research Council. She also testified before several state legislatures in support of legislation that would protect children by ensuring they are not rushed into irreversible and lifelong damaging gender transition procedures. Dr. Bowens, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
It's good to be back with you, Tony.
Now, earlier this year, Norway announced that they were stepping away from this issue of embracing transgender surgeries and chemical treatments for children. Why?
Right. Like you said, it's encouraging to hear about people following the science. One of the things that they said was we can no longer call this evidence-based care. And then two, they said there's this curious trend about young women who are suddenly identifying after as transgender after puberty. And, you know, this isn't new for those of us who've been following this or, you know, testifying on this. These are the things that we've been raising for some time. So it's nice to actually see people who are doing scientific reviews say the same thing.
So it raises a question when we see these European countries that I listed, in countries that are not known as being bastions of conservatism, that they're stepping back from this at the same time that we have here in the United States, we have not only, you know, the Biden administration, which is driven by political ideologues, but you've got medical associations here in the United States doing the same. Why?
Yeah, I think that a lot of these organizations and including our own government in the U.S., they are dependent on us trusting what the science tells us. So in other words, whatever they want to dictate to us, you know, as long as they have a peer-reviewed publication that they can throw around with some kind of statistical significance, then that means then their point is proven. But I think what our listeners need to know is that when these organizations, like the World Professional Organization or Association for Transgender Health, when they say, or the AMA, the American Medical Association, when they say that they're using evidence-based care, it's important to know what they mean by that. So when I used to teach evidence-based practice, one of the things that we would tell, we were instructed to tell students, is that one of the factors that we're going to look at is if we don't have good science, basically we use the best available science. So these organizations are supporting mutilation of children based on the idea of consensus. So they get in a room together, they all know each other, they're all doing the same work to promote transgender supposed health, and they vote on these practices. So then they turn around to the public and they say, well, we are using evidence-based care. And in the U.S., we take it a step further and say that the science is settled. When, you know, that can't stand for very long because you're going to start seeing things unravel. You're going to start seeing we're seeing people who have detransitioned come out and speak against the harms. So, you know, when you operate off of that paradigm of well, we're all going to get together and, you know, this is making a lot of money and it's fitting a certain agenda, and so we're going to say, yes, this is the best practice.
Now, but at the same time, are they not trying to kind of suppress legitimate research that's being done, trying to make sure that they're not challenged?
Absolutely. And this happens a lot, especially in the psychological fields, where there's a huge lobby behind the research. That, for one, it's not even that they have to suppress it. There's a whole system at play that keeps a narrative or any kind of research out of the conversation that doesn't fit the normative narrative or the accepted narrative. And this is a huge problem in the academy. It's a huge problem with the grants that are given from our government to these institutions. That just becomes a big feedback loop.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but it would look to me that kind of an encouraging sign is that it's already unraveling. That's why you have all of these nations stepping back. You've had 18 states here, many of them just this year taking this step, despite the media, despite the testimony of these so-called medical groups. So common sense right now seems to be winning out, at least for now. We'll continue to pray and work. Dr. Jennifer Bowens, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to track that. Well, retail giant Target has stepped into their own Bud Light moment. But denying truth is part of a larger problem that we're seeing throughout our society. We're going to talk about the cost of that next. Don't go away.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true.
many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access to this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday. All right, the CEO of Target announced last week that he expects his stores to take a beating, a loss of about $1.3 billion in stolen merchandise. Now, this is an increase over $500 million from a year ago. What's interesting here is that these woke corporations, they're not the only one. Walmart, even Home Depot complaining about this lawlessness that's robbing them blind. But you know what? These are some of the same corporations that have been pushing woke policies that have been deconstructing morality and law. I mean, in the wake of the George Floyd killing and Minneapolis, many of these corporations gave millions of dollars to organizations aligned with Black Lives Matter and others that led to the rioting that hit about 68 cities across this country. They've been fueling the lawlessness. And now they're wondering, why are people stealing? I tell you what, I don't even go into these places anymore where you have to stand in line to talk to a clerk to be able to get a tube of toothpaste. This is crazy. I'd rather order it online. But this is what they're creating this environment. But that's not all. That's not all. That's the lawless aspect. But the deconstruction of morality is something that Target is so good at. They were the first, remember? They were the first to open women's changing rooms to biological men who were masquerading as women. Now, they've taken it a step further. The retail giant has now come under fire for its massive June Pride Month displays already popping up in stores. Now, the stores are also promoting transgender clothing targeting children. This includes what I'll call tucking and binding features that conceal gender traits. Now, on the screen, if you're watching, this is actually for babies. They have LGBT pride clothing for babies. This is not grooming. This is not indoctrination. You know, I haven't stepped inside of a Target store in, I can't tell you how long, a long time. Because they've been bad for a long time. But you know what? What gets me is they're now complaining about the lawlessness that is robbing them blind that they're responsible for. They are the ones that have been leading this systematic deconstruction of morality and fostering lawlessness. Well, joining me now to discuss this is author and speaker Heidi St. John of Mom Strong International. Heidi, welcome to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've been talking a lot about the situation at Target. You know, and I kind of gave a little information here. What would you add to what I had to say?
Well, I think it's time for the American consumer who hates this stuff and hates what Target is promoting to start putting their money where their values are. Target's not going to get the message unless we Bud Light them. Target's not going to get the message unless people of faith all over this country and people of conscience. I mean, you pointed it out a few minutes ago. They are literally going after our children. We're talking about infants here. We're talking about school-age children, and they're promoting an ideology that is both damaging and wicked on its face. And so I'd like to see the American consumer. I'm with you. I haven't been to Target in years. Listen, I'm the mother of five daughters. And the moment Target came out years ago and said that they are opening their bathrooms up to gender nonconforming persons and the non-binary and the lie of transgenderism, listen, I was out at that point. I'm not going to allow my kids to go into a store that willfully puts their safety at risk. And that's exactly what Target's been doing, as you rightly pointed out, for several years.
Now, when they were trying to brace their shareholders for this big hit that they were taking, I'll have to tell you, I wasn't reaching for the tissues. I don't feel sorry for them at all. They have created, and they're not alone. They're not alone. There are other major retailers that are pandering to this spirit of lawlessness that is already present and is only growing as we retreat from engaging it. And I don't feel sorry for them at all. I'm not a shareholder, not a stockholder, don't plan on being one. But I don't celebrate lawlessness, but they are the reason. They are a big part of the reason that we see the lawlessness that we do in this country.
Yes, that's right. And you said a buzzword that I think it's important for your audience to have embedded in their conscience. And that's the word retreat. For many, many generations now, the church has been told that we should exist behind the four walls of our churches. We've been told it was the gospel or politics, the gospel or education, the gospel or entertainment. And I'd like to see us get back to the gospel. And it should be the gospel and politics, the gospel and our shopping experiences. Our beliefs and our faith should be the power that goes behind the decisions that we make. And instead of retreating, I'd like to see us advance. We've got an opportunity to do that right now by simply withholding our money from these corporations that are dead set against our values, and they want to push it onto our children. They're not hiding these displays in the back of their stores. They're the first thing you see when you walk into Target right now.
Right. Well, Heidi, to your point, Paul told the Corinthians, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. So how you shop, where you spend your money, everything we have as followers of Christ, we have to recognize everything we have is given to us by God. We're stewards of what we've been entrusted with. And you have to ask the question, would God be pleased with you giving your money to an organization that is promoting the transgenderism of our children, the transgendering of our children, and is fostering this spirit of lawlessness that Paul said we already know is here, but it's the church that's keeping it in check. But that means we have to engage the Holy Spirit within believers, keeping this spirit of lawlessness in check.
Yeah, that's right. And we've been charged with that, right? The Apostle Paul told us that this is not a flesh and blood adversary. We are literally dealing with the spirit of the age right now. And a lot of these corporations who are under this demonic, I'm sorry, but that's what it is, a demonic influence that would seek to poison the minds of our young people to get them to question their gender. We're watching stories now coming out from the detransition community, and they're heartbreaking stories of kids who have been lied to and deceived from the time they were very, very young. I spoke on this issue about 8 years ago in Indianapolis, and I met a young mother whose son had been part of the Indianapolis Unified School District. And in kindergarten, they read him a story called Worm Loves Worm about two androgynous worms. It's a very confusing, although beautifully illustrated, children's book. And by the time that the end of that book comes, these worms had traded places. One of them, they got married. One was wearing a top hat and a wedding dress. The other one was wearing a veil and a tuxedo. It was very confusing. And by the time her son was in the third grade, no less than four of his classmates had decided that they were born in the wrong body. If the church can't be at the front of this conversation, I don't know who should be. This is the responsibility of God's people. We know that God made us in his image, male and female, because God decreed that it would be so.
It does seem like people, especially on this transgender issue, because I've been at this for quite some time, and it's sometimes hard to get people's attention. But on this, I do see kind of I see people waking up. I mean, we've had 18 states that have passed laws in the last couple of years that protect minors from these experimental surgeries and chemical treatments. We see countries backing away from this. We just talked about this, European countries. And then what happened with Bud Light was, I mean, I think it's left them staggering. So is this a pivotal moment that we might actually see Target hit the tank.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I hope that they're taking a lesson from what happened to Bud Light. You know, I saw a commercial just a couple of days ago now that the Ford Motor Company coming out with a truck that apparently represents the homosexual agenda. Listen, they will begin to sit up and listen when God's people begin to vote with their wallet. When we begin to say, no, we will not support this agenda. They didn't have to put it front and center. They chose to do this. They're continuing to choose to put our children at risk. You rightly pointed out that people are starting to wake up now to the evil of the transgender movement and the stories of these young men and women that are coming out of what can only be described as a cult. Transgenderism is really its own religion at this point. And these kids that are coming out, and we have done irrevocable harm. These are young women who will never know what it feels like to carry a baby or nurse a young baby. This is a devastating thing that we have allowed to have happen. And honestly, it has happened on the watch of God's people. I continue to pray that pastors everywhere would have the courage of people like Jack Hibbs and begin to speak out about this from the pulpit and tell their congregants, listen, you have a choice. You have a voice. Stop giving your money to these corporations that are absolutely doing harm to our children.
Heidi, we just have a couple minutes left. As a mom of five, what would you say to moms? How do you protect your children from this? I'm going to use this, the same term because I agree with you, this demonic agenda.
Well, first of all, I have five daughters and two sons. So I'm a mom of seven. I have four grandchildren now. My oldest grandson is 10. And I've been telling parents around the United States that the only answer to the bold lie of transgenderism is the bold truth that comes from the Word of God. We need to be training our children in righteousness. Our children need to know that there are male and female because God decreed it to be so. God made us male and female. And I come from a city just outside of Portland, Oregon. This is everywhere where I live. And it's so important that we inoculate our children against the lies that are permeating the culture right now. And the truth is found in the Word of God, in the work and person of Jesus Christ. And when we teach our children what the truth looks like, they're more likely to be able to spot a counterfeit. And that's what we need to do as the children of God. We need to start teaching the rising generation what God says, because His word is what will stand.
That is so well said. I can only put an exclamation point on that. Heidi, thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.